And thank you, if we may echo the words, thank you for being with us in the meeting tonight. Some are here who were not with us last night. We appreciate your being here for the first time this evening. And some have returned for this meeting tonight. And we give you another welcome, a warm welcome. And our interest in this meeting is that you will be saved for eternity. We are not interested in giving lectures on religion. We are not interested in deepening your understanding of the Bible. We would like to be clear and compelling in what we have to say with one objective in mind. We would love for you to know our Savior. I love the words that we have sung tonight. Oh, that my Savior were your Savior too. I want to read with you in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Now, I'm not sure tonight if a story about sheep and a shepherd would have any immediate charm for you. But I love this story. I'm not really familiar with sheep. I was brought up in the countryside, and there were cows on the farm across the road from where we live. But I'll tell you why I love this story. Because after all, this story is about me. Because this story is about one lost sheep. And I will never forget the night when I discovered that I was the one lost one for whom this shepherd came to save me. And I love the story because by his grace, I love the shepherd. And I would like you tonight to just take this story this personally. It's simple. It really involves just one sheep and one shepherd. The 99 are left really out of the consideration. And I would love for you to think tonight that all that matters in this meeting, while you're surrounded by a few hundred others, that all that matters in this meeting is that this story is about me, the sheep. And this meeting is about him, the shepherd. And I can tell you tonight that if the shepherd found you tonight, you would sing some days through life if you're spared, oh, happy day that fixed my choice. And every time you sang it, your mind would go back to a Toronto conference, the 3rd of April, 1999, and you would thank God for life and forever that you came to know this shepherd. One lost sheep and one loving shepherd. There is one thing that appeals to me in this story, and I just want to ask you to look at it this way. What is so important in the story is that we are being given the insight of the Lord Jesus. This is how he views you. Did you ever have any interest in knowing
how heaven thinks about you, how you are in God's sight? Well, this is the shepherd telling us how he views you. And of course, in his own words, the shepherd is telling us wonderful truth about himself. Interesting that the Lord chooses a sheep as a picture of you, and while I've said it all for you, I've told you I take it all for me. The Bible does say all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We're all like sheep. That's the view that heaven has of you and me. Could I just speak to you for a moment or two about some features I understand about sheep that to me are so touching? One thing is that a sheep is, after all, a dependent creature. Not like a cat. Now, maybe you like cats. But I know one thing about cats. They are independent. Oh, yes, you're supposed to feed them. And they will purr when you feed them, maybe. But other than that, they don't need you. Right? That's not the way a sheep is. A sheep needs a shepherd. A sheep doesn't do in the wild. A sheep is dependent. And whether you know this tonight or not, you can't make it through life without the shepherd. You may have been trying, and I'm looking into the faces of some tonight, and your history would really be unknown to me. But I wonder if you've been trying to make it through life without the shepherd. And you've been wondering why life's going nowhere. And why it seems that everything is out of joint. You need a shepherd. I love the words of Peter. He's writing to people that are scattered abroad across a large geographic area. And he goes back in the story of all of them to the moment that they trusted Christ as Savior. It's not something novel for people over here and different for people over there. This is what he speaks about for everyone. Who his own self, the Lord Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And then he says, ye are returned. Ye were as sheep going astray, but ye are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Do you remember the day, Christian, when you came back home? Do you remember the day when you were brought to the shepherd? Ah, thank God. But I want you to know tonight that life will never be right until you know the shepherd. And I can't think thoughts along that line without my mind going to this. It has deep meaning for me, because I'm a father. And you can't help it, can you? Your heart gets all entwined in your children. I remember, because I see some of the folks here, and it takes me back to the time when I was in London having gospel meetings, and I missed our son's 21st birthday. So I wrote him a letter. Big day for him, sentimental time for Dad. And I just sketched in the letter some of my hopes and dreams for him in life. 17th of July. August 21st. We stood in the hospital. And there he lay. He's a big fella. Strong, not a mark on his body, tubes in his throat, up his nose, in his arms. He was swimming. The wave took him over its crest, drove his head into the sand. He needed someone to pull him out of the water. He felt in his legs, his upper body, for the last time, to the present moment, paralyzed. He was there with our family and with his girlfriend, dreaming dreams of life, of everything so meaningful. And now he is in the hospital, neurological intensive care. So I stole up to his bed on a morning. One thing important to me, to us, to any parent in a situation like this, is his spiritual stability. More important even than the physical, I hope you understand, the spiritual. How is he doing spiritually? So I said to him, Rob, anything from the Bible that's coming to your mind? He disappointed his dad. Big mistake on my part. He disappointed his dad. He just quoted me a verse that anybody could quote. He said, yes, I've been thinking, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So I'm slow. It took a little moment for that to dawn on my heart. And from then till now, I have been deeply thankful. Because when you're in circumstances like that, you need a shepherd. When the unexpected things of life come, you need a shepherd. When the twists and disappointments of the pathway of life come, you need a shepherd. You can't make it on your own. No, this is no crutch to support us. This is what we were made for. This is what life is intended to be. You and I are sheep, and we need a shepherd. And oh, tonight, the richest blessing of your life would be if you came to know that shepherd as your shepherd tonight. To trust him personally. To know you belong to him. To know you can count on him in all the disappointments of life. What a blessing to know this shepherd. But you'll know as well that what we are looking at with this sheep is its distance. It's lost. There is an undescribed distance between this sheep and the shepherd. And the tragedy of life for a person who does not know the shepherd is that there's a distance between you and God. The distance is not caused because God has withdrawn from you. The distance is caused because in your sins and in mine, we wandered away from God. It may have been with the thought of innocence. It may have been just trying to make our way. And this appealed and that appealed. And this looked important. But the tragic reality is that there is a distance between your soul and God. And to take the words of Isaiah and just bring them in at the moment, the truth is this. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Here is where the heart of the difficulty is, that between your soul at the moment and the Savior, this blessed shepherd, there is a distance due to your sin. But perhaps most significant at the moment is this, the danger of this loss. Sheep. The word lost really ought to bring to mind the reality of tremendous danger. It was apparently a foggy Texas morning when a father was watching his little 3-year-old Becky out in the backyard, amusing herself as she watched two blue jays fighting. And he watched when suddenly there appeared out of that bank of fog, to use his words, a creature that was awesome and misshapen. And in the fog that morning, it looked like a monster out of the ancient past. And he watched as that animal began to move so he could see what it was. And he recognized it with a sudden start. This is one of those wild, fierce hogs called a javelina. Ugly. Long, sharp tusks. High arched back with big, sharp bristles on its back. And it's rooting up the pathway with its nose. Short, stubby, strong legs. And its beady eyes meet the eyes of his little daughter. And before he can do anything, too late now to shout. No time to go upstairs to get the gun. They're locked together by vision. And the little child, 3 years old, begins to just mutter, kind of childishly, extends her arms and begins to walk over toward him. And the grunts turn to an ominous rumble. And he thinks perhaps he should call the mother. There's no point in alarming her. She'll scream, something will happen, but the words wouldn't come anyway. And that fierce little ugly thing plants its feet, looks like it's ready to charge. He watches those even razor-sharp teeth, and he's sure that one of those teeth could have cut her in pieces. And she just goes over to him so childish, and she puts her hand on that hard bristle ear, and the motor begins to idle. Almost sounds like a purr, and he wonders what is going to happen. And after a few moments, she's had enough amusement, she turns to walk away. And the critter turns and ambles its way down the lane. Nice doggy, Daddy. She had no idea. She had no idea of the danger in which she was. Could I tell you tonight that one lost sheep has no idea of the danger in which it is found? And could I plead with your heart tonight in this gospel meeting? I am absolutely convinced there is not a soul in this meeting who knows his own danger. I remind you tonight that life is very brittle. That not one person in this gathering can be absolutely sure you will be back here tomorrow night, even if you wish to be. And we hope you will come if you are spared. And if the Lord be not come, you are in danger of finding that by this time tomorrow night, the door that stands wide open, that welcomes sinners from their lostness, welcomes them to heaven's eternal light and life, you are in danger of discovering that that door will be closed and closed to you forever. Your danger is far greater than you'll ever realize. As you sit in this gospel meeting tonight, your soul and the pulse that is beating in your body is just the faint murmur of all that is keeping you from descending into eternal fire. Those who are at a distance from the shepherd, those who are separated from God in sin, are in danger at any moment of losing their soul forever. You are reminded tonight that hundreds are praying for you, and I have listened to some of them praying tonight. Praying with broken voices, and your names mentioned in the presence of God, some that are here tonight. And why the emotion? Why the deep concern? Why do we preach as we do? And long that God will carry our words into your heart and disturb you and awaken you, that you might realize tonight how deeply in danger you are. It's because they believe it. And we preach as we do because we believe it. Please understand tonight that the Bible is clear. If you die without this shepherd, your soul will be in hell forever. No hope. Endless judgment to meet you. Justice because of your sin. What tremendous danger awaits souls who are away from the shepherd. But I want to tell you tonight about this loving shepherd. And I want you to see what he speaks about himself. This is one story that's wrapped up with two others. Delightful. And we're looking at a father who waits to welcome a repentant sinner. We're looking at a woman who is energized with one wish, bringing light into the scene, that she might find this lost coin. And I think almost all who read this and appreciate their Bible will recognize that we are looking at the truth of a Father in heaven and the Spirit of God at work in this world and the Savior, the Shepherd, God's eternal Son, that all have one deep interest, and that is the salvation of the lost. Here is the Lord Jesus describing for us in such a lovely way the fact that he is indeed the shepherd of the Old Testament. The verse I've quoted to you already says, the Lord, really Jehovah, is my shepherd. And the one who is Jesus, standing so simply or sitting where people are and instructing them with this delightful story, is none less than God incarnate. And the shepherd that went to Calvary to find lost sheep is none other than the eternal Son of the eternal God. There was never a time when he began to be, and yet he became a man. In this dark world, he came into this world because there was a lost sheep. The shepherd, who is God. One of the things as I read this story that I have often thought that I would love to be able to know, one day I will know more about this, but I never will fully know. I would love to know what was in the thought of the Lord Jesus when he said, "Doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it." How many obstacles are in the way? How many difficulties must be faced? He did not stop to calculate it. To this shepherd it was unknown, but to the shepherd of which it speaks it was fully known. He came from heaven, and he knew that men would greet him with a crown of thorns when they had the opportunity. He knew that despite all the good that he did to men, he would be refused, rejected, despised. He knew that he would be hanged upon a cross in excruciating anguish and pain at Calvary. He knew that men would have nothing for him but mockery and scorn. He knew that he would face the fierce storm of the wrath of God. The judgment that belongs to the guilty, the lost. He stands in the place of the guilty, and he must bear the dread penalty of sin. Until he find it. There was no limit to the lengths to which the Lord Jesus would go. Last night we were reminded of the lovely words of Paul as he writes, even the death of the cross. And this loving shepherd, because he set his heart upon the lost, he left the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny would be a lonely hill called Golgotha, there to suffer for you and for me. Have you ever taken in the wonderful truth that he came from heaven because he loves you? Have you ever taken in the wonderful truth from the Word of God that He came from heaven that He might rescue you from your lost condition, unable to find your way home, unable to somehow or other right the wrong of your problem? I just read last week about a Christian man down in Fort Lauderdale in Florida. I think he invested $17,000 for an advertising campaign. And what he has done, he has put just very brief, kind of catchy sayings in the buses. Two of them that just come to my mind at the moment are these. One is, will the road that you're traveling take you to my place? Dash, God. Need directions? Dash, God. Lost soul in the meeting tonight, you need directions. The road that you're traveling will not take you to heaven. There's a Savior that came because He longed to deliver the lost. So helpless in His sins, the lost. And the shepherd now, in His unequaled devotion, He is going until He found it. And no one else will ever know how many steeps He crossed, or the deepest darkness He passed through to embrace the one that was lost. But over the winds He heard its cry, helpless and weak and ready to die. And oh, thank God for every soul in this gathering tonight that has grasped this wondrous truth. All that He endured because He loved me. All that He endured that I might be delivered from suffering for my sins forever and forever. And the message tonight of the gospel is the message of a Christ who must go to Calvary to bear the wrath of God for sin. He must go to Calvary to give His own precious blood that sin might be forgiven. He must be the one who dies to pay the penalty of sin. And at Calvary, He accomplished all that was needed to find that which was lost. Let me tell you tonight about His delight. This is a shepherd that loves to find lost sheep. Any lost sheep in a meeting tonight? Is God's Word speaking to you in this meeting tonight? There's a Savior that is still rescuing the lost. You may have come to this meeting with questions in your mind as to what this is all about. Could it be clearly stated for your understanding tonight, this shepherd wants to save you? This shepherd is interested in transforming your life. He is interested in bringing you the forgiveness of sins. He is interested in lifting you from your sins, putting you on His shoulders, and securing you for all eternity. Did you notice what Mr. Lorimer said when he asked that anyone who had been saved would let us know that you have been saved? Now, you'll understand, we're not keeping a tally. What he told you is just exactly the fact. We want to rejoice with you. Because when lost sheep are found, the shepherd rejoices. When lost sheep are found, all heaven rejoices. There may be someone in heaven tonight, and the rejoicing will reach them, and they will recognize your name and thank God that their prayers were answered. And there are some that may be miles from here, and they would rejoice if they knew you had been saved. And you would find that people you have never known will rejoice for this great fact. Lost has been found. Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost. Lost soul, tonight is the night to get to know the shepherd. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And like the Zacchaeus of whom that was spoken, Let nothing stand in your way tonight. Receive him. Know him as your own. And share in the rejoicing of his salvation now.